Back to Zechariah, chapter 13, verse 2. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirits to pass out of the land, and it shall come to pass that when any shall prophesy, then his father and his mother that begat him shall say unto him, Thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and his mother that begat him shall thrust him through when he prophesies. And it shall come to pass in that day that the prophet shall be ashamed every one of his vision when he hath prophesied, neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive. But they shall say, I am no prophet, I am a husbandman, for man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. Again, this is in the time of the millennial. And Jesus Christ himself is going to be physically as a man in Jerusalem. He is also God. He knows everything. There will be no demons. There will be no fallen angels that will stay in his presence, in Jerusalem, or in Israel, the prince's land, as it says earlier in the book of Ezekiel. Oh, they still are in existence. They will flee to faraway places, but there will be no one that will challenge the Lord Jesus Christ in anything during this time. For anyone that challenges him will immediately be dealt with, whether man or demon. And these men who up until this time had said, and we have men today that say, oh, I speak for the Lord, and whether it's other religions, I am prophet and Allah is God and Muhammad is his prophet, or whether it is some man who says, I am Jim Jones and I am the one who speaks for God, or whether it is some man who says, I am God. These will not be able to do these things when Jesus is here in person. And it says that during this time, even a mother and a father will take their child and say, you are speaking. That's what prophecy means. Prophecy, many people think it's talking about the future. I want you to understand, prophecy, as it really means in the scriptures, is when a man or a woman speaks the heart of God in a matter. It can be telling the future. God is angry with his children, and he says, because you will not listen to me, because you're stiff-necked, I will bring in famine, I will bring in pestilence, I will bring in foreign invaders and take you away. But it is always God speaking his heart through that person. That's what a prophet does. And that's why we still have prophets today. They don't speak the future as the prophets in the Old Testament, but there are still people that speak the heart of God to individuals. That's why Paul says the greatest gift is the gift of prophecy. If you can reveal to other human beings the heart of God, that is a great, great gift. And he gives that gift to the church. We have those among us. Here it says that the parents, they see their son or their daughter or their children saying that they speak the heart of God in a matter, but they are not, because God is here in person. He doesn't need a person to speak his will. He speaks it himself. And so these men, these women, these people that say that they speak for God, that says, they'll say, no, you don't. Because Jesus Christ is on the throne in the temple in Jerusalem. You don't speak for him. He speaks for himself. It says that he will speak to all those that are his. How does he do that? We talked about that earlier. I don't know how he's going to do that, but it says he's going to do it, and therefore he's going to do it. Period. I don't care what man says. He will speak to you and you will hear him. And he will speak to you exactly the words that you need to hear from him. How does he tweak each one so that he hears a little bit different than you hear, but that is, he needs it a little bit different than you need it? Because he knows each and every one of us. He made us before the universe was created. And so he knows us. Paul says the same thing. You look at what he says. He says, in that day, Paul speaking, saying, in that day, I will know him even as now he, what? Knows me. Paul's not talking about universe. He's not talking about mankind. Even as now he knows me. This is the way he is. He knows each and every one of us. Book of Revelation, it says he will give in each individual a name which only he and that person knows. I have a name for my wife. She has a name for me. Nobody else gets that name. That's a name that I reserve for the woman that God gave me. Just as the name that we will have is the name that the Father has given to his Son for the wife that he gave him. Each one of us individually. Well, this is what happens to those. It says that they will be ashamed and they will be killed by their own parents if they continue to do this and claim that they speak for God. Verse 6 and 7, it may look like it is a continuation of these ones that were prophesying, these ones that were talked about in verses 2 through 5, but I don't believe that. I believe that verses 6 and 7, and it is so clear to me, that this is speaking about someone else. This is speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have so many clues, and we'll go through some of them. Verse 6. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in your hands? Then he shall answer, those which I was wounded in the house of my friends. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. In this future time, during the millennial period, people will go up and say, what are these wounds that are in your hands? What are these nail prints that are in your hands? Jesus says, those which I was wounded in the house of my friends, those that I loved, these are the wounds that I suffered for their name's sake. Turn with me back to Isaiah chapter 49. This isn't just some new thought that I thought up. Others have thought of this earlier. We go back to Isaiah chapter 49, and I'm going to begin reading now. Let's pick it up in where should we start? How about for lack of time, let's begin reading in verse 14. But Zion, again, this is the future. This is in the future, and when it talks about Zion, it's talking about Israel. But Zion say, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. This is how they will feel at the time. They will feel like because the enemies, because the Assyrian, because the Antichrist, because the nations of the world have come down upon Israel, and they destroy the cities, and they take Jerusalem, and they are in the process of eliminating Israel as a people when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. As we're going to see later on in the next few verses, only one out of three during that 7-year period will live. Of all the people, you go to Israel today, there's 7 million people or whatever it is. It says out of the, let's say there are 9 million people. If there were 9 million people, 6 of them would die during the 7 years, and only 3 would be left. You look around this room, 2 out of 3 of you would die in the next 7 years, not just from old age. Miserable, horrible deaths, hunted down by the Antichrist, had your head cut off, killed by famine, killed by diseases, killed by enemies, tortured to death, brutally executed. This is what's going to happen. And it says, Zion has said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and the Lord hath forgotten me. This is how they will feel. Then God answers what they will say. And this is what he says in verse 15. Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, it's possible for them to forget, yet will I not forget you. Behold, why can't God forget us? Because I have graven you upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. What is this saying? Jesus Christ is going to look at the nail prints in his hands, and he will see Steve Anderson written there in the palms of his hands. He will see your names written there in the nail prints in his hands. And he will be able to show them to the Father and say to the Father, Father, for this individual, for this sinner, for this child, I have his name. Here is the payment that I made for him. And when the Father sees the nail prints in his hands and my name written there, can Satan's accusations against me make any difference? Is there any power in heaven that will convince the Father that his son's life and suffering for me was not good enough? My name's written there. Not in just some book in heaven, the Lamb's Book of Life, but they are written in the palms of Jesus' hands. So we come back. It says here to Zechariah chapter 13. And now when we read this verse 6 again, and one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then shall he answer, those which I was wounded. In your Bible it says in, but notice that the in is in italics. It is not in the original. It is something that we added in English because this helps us to read it and this is what we think it should say. Now read it without the in. And it says, those which I was wounded. The house of my friends. What did Jesus say? I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be. Another way of looking at this verse is not that in the house of my hands, like Jesus was had his hands scarred when he was in the house of his friends, but he was scarred for the house of his friends. And that house is what we are. We are that house that he is making for himself out of, what does it say? Living stones.
Isn't this great? I mean, I don't know about you, but when I read this, when I think about this, and I think about the New Testament, and I read about Peter, and I read about Jesus, and I read about Paul, and I see these things, and I look at this verse, and I say, get rid of the word in. You're missing the point. Jesus is talking about, I was wounded. I have your names written in the palms of my hands, and I did this because I did this for my house, the house of my friends. What does Jesus say there at the end, right, as they're walking to the Garden of Gethsemane? You are my friends. If it were not so, I would have not have told you these things. But because you are my friends, I tell you these things in advance. I am going to die for you. Take the Old Testament, you turn it upside down, you read it through this lens of the whole of Scriptures. You look at the prophecies in the Old Testament, you look at the prophecies in the New Testament, you look at the Gospels, you look at Revelation, you look at the epistles, and when you see these things, you say, wow, this is amazing. How could this not be written by God? Only God could write something like this that dovetails over the... How many pages are in the Bible? 2,000 pages? Take 2,000 pages over 40 different men over centuries and centuries, and they all perfectly fit together. Verse 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Capitals, all capitals, capital L-O-R-D, saith Jehovah. This is God the Father. Awake, O sword, against whose shepherd? Jehovah's shepherd. He has sent a shepherd into the world to lead us out to himself. Jesus talks about this. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Awake, O sword. This is God the Father, Jehovah, speaking. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. We were talking about this a little bit earlier. How is it possible that Jehovah could say that there is a man who is my fellow? You look at the word, what does the word fellow mean? It constitutes a companion. It talks about one who walks hand in hand with you, one who is bonded to you in a way that cannot be separated. God is saying that there is a man who is my fellow. You talk to a Jew. The Jew says, there is one God. His name is Jehovah. And we serve no other. And yet God says here, God himself in the book of Zechariah, speaking through Zechariah, he says, there is a man who is my fellow. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. We know this passage. You can go to Matthew chapter 26. In Matthew chapter 26, this is exactly what Jesus says there in the Garden of Gethsemane. He refers back to this verse. He tells the disciples, oh, the time has come. They fell asleep, not once, not twice, three times they fell asleep. Are you still awake back there? Have another cup of coffee. It says... He says, wake up, Peter. Pray with me this 1 hour. That's all I'm asking. 1 hour, Peter. Can't you stay awake for 1 hour? My soul is near unto death because I am about to go through the most horrible thing that will ever occur in time and eternity for you. Stay awake with me for 1 hour. And he refers to this verse, the shepherd shall be smitten and the sheep shall be scattered.
And that's exactly what happened. They come, they arrest Jesus in the garden, and the disciples scatter into the night. Verse 8. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts thereof shall be cut off and die, but the third part shall be left therein. Going into the great tribulation period, the Jews will be back in Israel. They will be chased out of the rest of the world, or they will be drawn back by the Spirit of God. Whatever, however, Israel had to become a nation again. Israel had to be a place where the Jews would go back to. Israel had to be a place where the temple would be rebuilt. Israel had to be a place where the Antichrist is going to come into the temple and set himself up as God and claim that he is God. All the things that we know about that are going to happen in the last day, these things will all come to place. And during that seven-year period called Jacob's trials, or the great tribulation period, of all the Jews that are alive in Israel, two out of three will die during that 7 years. Tortured to death, executed, done away with. They thought that the concentration camps of Germany were horrible. They were just the beginning. They were a precursor, a warm-up. It's like a guy going out there in a batter's box, and he swings the bat, and he's got two bats in his hands, and he throws the one away, and he swings it. And then he steps into the batter's box. The time of the concentration camps of Germany was just a warm-up. It was just a swinging of the bats for the time that Jesus will come himself, and this world will go into such horrible. It says in the scriptures that unless those years were cut short, unless they were not 80 years or 60 years or 20 years, unless they were cut short to 7 years, no flesh would dwell in the earth. So we cut it short to 7 years, but during that time, two out of three will die. And I will bring the third part, those that are still alive, I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined. And how we refine silver? You put it in there and you turn the flames up until it melts all the stuff in the pot and all the scum, the stuff that is not silver rises to the surface and it is scraped off. And how do they know when it is pure? When you can see your face in it. You have scraped off and scraped off and scraped off until the metal is pure and you can see the face of God in the metal. And this is what is going to happen. He is going to scrape off and scrape off and scrape off during those 7 years. And those people that do not put their trust and confidence in God, Jehovah, and Jesus Christ, but they put their trust and confidence in the one who claims to be God, the Antichrist, the one who comes up out of Europe and says, put your trust and confidence in me, and I will save you from the Assyrian king. I will protect you. And he is a liar. And God is going to scrape off and scrape off and scrape off until there is nothing left but all those that will become believers. And I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name and I will hear them. And I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord, Jehovah, is my God. There's a reference here in verse 9 that goes back to Hosea. I thought we were going to cover it this morning. When we were having the breaking of the bread, there was so many references that went back to Hosea. In Hosea, if you go back to Hosea, in chapter 1 of Hosea, Remember, Hosea was told by God that he had to go out and marry a prostitute, a woman who was unfaithful to him. And he has a child, 3 children, actually. The first child that he has means God shall bring life. And the second child, which we call Lo Ruhamah, in the Hebrew, lo means not. Ruhamah means mercy. I will not have mercy because that child is not his child. It is some other man's who came to his wife. And he knows it. He knows that it is not his child. And he is told by God to call that child Lo Ruhamah. I will not have mercy upon you. And he has a third child. And the third child's name is Lo Ami. Again, Lo, not. Ami is the word for my people. You are not my people. Because it also was not his child. But if you keep reading, you go through into the next chapter, chapter 2. And you go to the last chapter. And in the last chapter, in the Hebrew, we don't see it necessarily in the English, but in the Hebrew, God, in that day, this day when he comes back, he doesn't call them Lo Ruhamah, I will not show you mercy. He doesn't say to them, Lo Ami, I will not have you to be my people. God comes back and he says, I will show you mercy and you are my people. And in this day, if you go back over to the other verse where it talks about Zechariah, it says, and they shall look upon him who they pierced. And you go back to the beginning of chapter 13, it says, in that day, every Jew shall see him and receive him as the Redeemer. Every living Jew in Jerusalem and in Israel shall see the Lord Jesus coming back, and they shall mourn for him, and they shall see him as their Redeemer, and they shall receive him, and a nation, not just an individual, will be born again. The nation of Israel will be born in one day. Not all, only a third. But every one of those that is left alive will become a saint that day. They will become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ as their God and their Redeemer. And they will love him as we love him. And they will sing to him as we sing to him. And they shall go and they shall cry before him for all the things that we did that hurt him and all the things where we were unfaithful and all the things where we could have done better. And he will wipe away their tears. And they will be one with Jehovah through Christ, their Savior. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful, wonderful book that you have given us. Not just the book of Zechariah, but your word. And the Holy Spirit that brings thoughts to our minds that are so wonderful. We cannot even describe the feelings that we have when we see the love that you have and the plan that you have and the power that you have. It just makes our hearts melt before you. We long to be with you. We long to see you. We long to bring glory to you, Lord Jesus, for all that you have done and all that you are and all that you are going to do. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Your assignment for next time.